Well, today's going to be a special broadcast of Off the Record. If you've been following along, you know that we've been going through a series for the last several weeks where I have been systematically refuting the false doctrine of cessationism. And I think that we're about halfway through the series at this point, although honestly, I feel like I could keep going on this subject for a year. But if you are just joining us, I would highly suggest that you go back and watch the previous five parts after you watch this one, because part one was about cessationist proof texts. Number two was about certain cessationist arguments. Number three was prophets and prophecy. Number four, speaking in tongues. And the last one was gifts of healings. And I will link all of those episodes in the description. But today we're going to just exhale and just breathe for a moment with something a little bit less technical. Because, you know, sometimes I think it's easy for me to forget that when I talk about miracles and healings so casually, that takes a lot of people by surprise. You know, if you were talking to someone who had never seen an airplane before, and you were trying to explain the miracle of human aviation, it would probably seem difficult for that person to wrap your mind around the casual way that you're speaking about something that seems so absolutely and utterly impossible. Oh yeah, I was, you know, sitting in a recliner 30,000 feet in the air, moving hundreds of miles an hour over open ocean while shopping for socks online. Yeah, it's totally insane if you think about it, right? But if you've seen and heard and experienced something over and over and over again, it just becomes normal and natural on some level. Now, that doesn't mean that we ever take God's wonders for granted. And it doesn't mean that every single miracle doesn't still amaze me. It absolutely does. But I don't think of miracles as something to be skeptical about. I don't react usually with skepticism when I hear that someone's been healed or that a miracle has happened. My reaction is usually, praise God. My reaction is to rejoice and thank God because I know that He does these things and I'm so thankful for them. But again, it's easy to forget that some of you have actually never seen a miracle. Some of you have never seen a healing. And so maybe you're skeptical just because you simply can't wrap your mind around someone actually being healed right in front of your eyes. And in fact, for some of you, I think your reaction when you hear that someone's been healed is, that's impossible. I need to see documentation. I need proof. It's like someone just told you the earth is flat or something. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. But here's the thing. Why should this be extraordinary? Why should a believer be surprised by a God of miracles? Isn't that what your Bible shows you? Isn't Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Absolutely, but cessationist teachers have actually convinced many of you that those things we read about in the Bible were only for the quote-unquote apostolic age. And that, my friends, is why we're doing this series. You know, after I released that previous episode about gifts of healings, somebody named EJ commented, quote, Daniel, would you mind sharing a testimony and proof of someone being healed at one of your conferences, end quote. Now, I don't know if EJ had a chance to watch to the end of that episode about healing that he commented on, because I played a testimony at the very end from a former Muslim man by the name of Muhammad that was healed in one of our crusades in Ghana. And it's one of my favorite testimonies ever. EJ, if you're watching this and you didn't see that testimony, you're going to want to go back and watch it because it's amazing. But that got me to thinking. Today, what I'm going to do is just take a break from the theology and the arguments and the doctrine and just show you some testimonies. I want to give you a taste of the world that I live in. And I'm hoping that by experiencing some of these miracles, even by way of video, it will help you to wrap your mind around what I'm saying. And if you remember in that last episode, I made a big deal when it comes to healing about having some practical experience with miracles. Now, it's not that we build our theology or our faith around experience. We don't. But common sense tells you that experience will help you to understand something that is, by nature, experiential. I mean, imagine how many mistakes cessationists would make about salvation, for example, if they hadn't been saved. If all they knew about salvation came from a textbook, they would probably misunderstand a lot of what Paul and others say about the subject in Scripture. But if you've been born again and you read these things, it's like, yeah, I get that. I see what Jesus means when he talks, for example, about being born again. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel. I've hosted quite a few tours there over the years, and it's fun for me to watch people light up when they see some of these famous sites and they go, oh, that's what Jesus meant when he said that. Oh, that's how Jesus preached to multitudes in the open air. Oh, that's the Sea of Galilee. That's why he said the gates of hell would not prevail. That's the Mount of Olives. These are wonderful, eye-opening experiences that help a person to connect the dots. And experience with the miraculous is kind of like that. You know, when I read about miracles in the Bible, sometimes I can almost see them happening right in front of my eyes because in many cases I've seen very similar things happen in real life. And man, I want that for every single one of you. I want you to know the power of God in your life. I want you to know how the power of God is able to touch your friends and your family and your church. And I'm jealous for that. And that is the reason that I'm so staunchly anti-cessationist. I know that the power of God is real. And I know that it's available to you. And you know what? It's not even that difficult. But here's the thing. There is a whole theological system that has been designed to instantiate unbelief in your heart that will be like a spiritual disease. It will prevent you from being able to access so much of what Jesus purchased for you on the cross. And I think that's terrible and unacceptable, and that is why we're doing this series, Refuting Cessationism. And you know what's ironic? It's actually been mostly cessationists that have been getting offended by the things I've said in this series, as you can imagine. But here's the thing. Cessationists, I'm doing this for you. Nobody has been so abused and cheated and robbed by cessationist teaching as those of you that are unfortunate enough to have been subjected to it. Look, I'm going to keep seeing miracles whether you believe in them or not. And I'm not telling you to let God out of the box as though you're going to do some favor for him. Because look, God has never been in your box. The only person in your box is you. The only one limited by your unbelief is you. I'm telling you it's time for you to come out of the box. I'm trying to help you to break free from the false doctrine of cessationism. And if I could help you do that, it would be one of the greatest gifts in your entire life. And so, I'm going to start today with one of the most amazing miracle testimonies that I know of. And incidentally, it's also one of the most meticulously well-researched miracles that I know of as well. This is the story of a man by the name of Daniel Ekechukwu. He was a pastor in Nigeria who died in a car accident, and he was in the mortuary for 3 days and was raised to life again. Let me say that again. He died, he was in the mortuary for 3 days, and he was raised to life. Now look, I understand that we are jumping into the deep end here. Okay, we're not starting with a couple of softball testimonies to warm you up. If you have trouble believing in miracles, this one is really going to mess with you. But if it does, just ask yourself this question. Why does it bother you? Why does it surprise you to hear that God raises people from the dead? Remember when Paul was standing before King Agrippa in Acts 26, and he said, why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? Now, remember, Agrippa wasn't even a believer. If Paul were talking to Christians, I think he'd say something like, how in the world can you even call yourself a Christian if you find it incredible that God raises the dead? I mean, look, if you are a believer, your entire faith is based on a resurrection. Not only that, but your Bible has accounts of resurrections through the entire thing, Old and New Testaments. Not only that, your Messiah commanded his disciples to raise the dead. So if anything, I think as Christians, we should be surprised that more people aren't being raised from the dead. And again, this is one of the most well-documented miracles of resurrection I know of. It was attested to not only by the believers that were present, but even by unbelievers who had no reason whatsoever to verify the miracle. And in fact, actually, they had every reason to expose it as a fraud if that's what it had actually been. I remember Reinhardt saying that when he was leaving Onitsha, which is where this miracle happened, he said the police chief that had been in charge of their security, who was a Muslim man, by the way, approached him, and he said the man was physically trembling. He had been there when that miracle happened. And let me read this right out of Reinhardt's book where he wrote about this. It's a book called Raised from the Dead. Quote, Pastor Bonnke, the man said, yes, what can I do for you? Sir, I'm a Muslim. I have never seen such a thing. When they brought the corpse to the church, it was in a coffin. I made them take the body out of the coffin so that I could inspect it for explosives. The body was stiff with rigor mortis. I pulled wads of cotton out of the man's nostrils. They took him into the basement, and now he's breathing. Pastor Bonnke, I've seen him. The man who was dead is breathing, end quote. So that was the chief of security, who was a Muslim. The mortician was actually an animist pagan. And he ended up getting saved as well because of this miracle. He even ended up going to Bible college. He became an evangelist and then traveled all over Africa preaching the gospel because of what he saw in this miracle. It's an amazing story. And what you're about to see actually comes from a longer documentary about this testimony called Raised from the Dead. Let's watch.
One evening, Pastor Daniel Ekichukwu was on his way home from Onitsha, Nigeria. When he attempted to apply his brakes at the bottom of a steep hill, they failed. His car hit a stone pillar, and he was thrust into the steering wheel and window. He was rushed to the closest hospital.
When I reached there, I saw the condition of my husband. He was hitting himself, coming up, going down. Men now was pushing him down. Already they have inserted something all over his body. So I started crying. Then after some time, they told him, Pastor, your wife is here. Your wife is here. So he opened his eyes and called me. Then I answered, I began to ask him, do you want to leave me and these kids and go? That you should not do that. He asked me, where is he? I told him, Boromio Hospital. Said that I should take him out of this place if I love him. Or if I don't want him to die here, I should take him to his doctor at where he is, Rike now. As we are going, my husband called me that I should take care of the children and the ministry that he has built house for me, that I should not worry, that I should take care of everything, that there are some people called to go quick, that is among them, that his journey is ended. And I began to cry now as I collect what I will suffer in future. We proceeded our journey, believing that God will do something with the doctors. So when we reached the nearby hospital, when we went there again, we were blowing horn. I was shouting. One of the nurses also come out again and asked us, what is that? I told him, a dead man, please, emergency, is there any doctor?
On the 30th of November this year, Reverend Dan Eke was brought to my clinic. History had it that he was involved in a motor accident. When I examined him, I looked at the chest. There were no respiratory movements. I listened with the stethoscope. There were no breath sounds. I tried to look at the heart, the cardiovascular system. There were no heart sounds, and the patient had no pulse. I looked at the eyes. The pupils were fixed and dilated. I just made an impression right away that the patient was dead, and he should be removed to the mortuary.
When they brought him in here, he was being brought by a father and a wife. Then there's no life in him, no heartbeat, no any sign of weakness. They accepted him as a dead, as a corpse. Then after all those, I checked all around the body and everywhere is so stiff. That was what gave us the strength to start our procedure. Well, this is the mortuary, the storage room. And here we store our corpses. This is room one. This is room two. And here we store him at night. On top of this lab, it is where we kept him at the beginning of this center. After here, then bring him out on Sunday morning for dressing on top of that slab there.
Bunker was here on the second day of December 2001 to commission the Kingdom Light World Evangelism, which is the evangelistic arm of this great ministry. We put out the advert. We even invited people to come that is going to pray for the sick and is going to pray for the Onitsha people.
I felt that this place, that the glory of God that will be here, coupled with the man of God and another man of God that comes from outside the country, with other men of God, that anointing will be so high here, that the anointing will resurrect my husband. That was what I felt before coming down here.
Then we're on the platform around 1 p.m. Bunke was preaching. Suddenly somebody came to me and they told me that they brought a man with an ambulance, a coffin, and they don't know where to put him.
before an usher quickly ran in and told us there's an emergency. They are trying to bring in a corpse into the church. And coming down here, we met an ambulance car. But I told them that we cannot get inside the church with the corpse. That first of all, they should remove him from the casket, which some other boys helped us do. They removed him from the casket down there.
After that, I told them if God wants to raise him from the dead, that there is no distance in prayers, that the power of God is present there. As far as the wife believes that God is going to raise the husband.
They quickly rushed him out from the ambulance. And they were looking for a place to lay him. And they brought in these two tables. And his head was here while his legs were here. This was the first place where they now laid him. And we discovered that he was breathing slightly. And we had to remove his suit, his T-shirt, remove the stockings and the hand gloves. And I and my pastor friend, we laid hands upon him. I was holding his hand, he was holding his head, and we now prayed for him here.
When I touched him from the head to the toe, was like a stockfish, and his hands lie like this, by the sides. I just lying like that. So we started praying. We continued praying and praying and praying. He was breathing, his breath was reviving and reviving and reviving. At times I would say, stop, let us sing. And we sing and we pray. People, we are all around this place. They wanted to see. They wanted to know what we finally happened.
Then we got on the meeting. Bonke finished. He prayed for people. After praying for the people, I took him to the office. Somebody rushed in and said, it's now breathing, that is breathing, it's breathing.
So as we were praying now, suddenly we saw the eyes started, the life started coming in. I said to my pastor friend, Pastor Luke, that you know they say that he had been 3 days in the mortuary. Let us massage him. So he was there massaging the right hand, and I was here massaging the left hand. Now, the neck, I massaged the neck, and life came into it. I was able to turn him, but before it was like a stockfish. After massaging, we find out that anyone we massage, life will come into that side. So members of our deliverance team gathered around this table and holding hands, we are praying. Suddenly, people shouted for me to turn to see why people are shouting, because they were all there, filled up all this place. They want to see. And when they shouted, I saw this man jumped up. When he jumped up, I abandoned the person I was with. And I rushed and I grabbed him just like this.
Then they decided to carry him up because people were jamming into the place.
As we carried him to the pastor priest's office under the fan, we keep him there, and the fan was rolling, and after which mommy come in there, he said, the air is too compacted, that we should take him to the main auditorium, that he will have enough air.
And when they brought him into this hall, people shouted, screamed, that even a lame woman, a crippled woman, dropped her crutches and start running, not walking, start running. One old woman, deaf in 2 ears, start hearing. Another person lying on the floor, on the ground, jumped up. There was miracle of every kind.
I remembered I was vomiting blood. Blood was coming out of my nose. My wife came inside the ambulance. I told her that they should take me to my special doctor at Owerri, Imo State. So on our way, two angels came inside the ambulance. Immediately I saw them, I was afraid. I wanted to say it out. But immediately I opened my mouth to talk. One of them did shh and shut my mouth up. So I couldn't talk anymore. So the only thing I was able to say, I told my wife, you people should take care of the church. I started saying things I felt that she don't know. So eventually she started crying, shaking me, saying I don't need this. So while she was shaking me, one of them took me by the right hand. The other one by the left hand, they left the ambulance with me. Was hearing a lot of musical instruments, but I never see anyone. So while that experience was going on, in my spirit, I desired it most to go in there to join them. I even made a move. He said, no, I still have a lot of things to show you. Don't go in. He now took me to a wonderful place. In fact, what I saw there, I don't have anything to describe it. It was so glorious. Very wonderful mansion. You look at the building, you look like glass, look like gold, look like whatever. Even the flowers there, we are looking like gold. You know, I say, now let us visit hell. So when the angel finished with me, he now said to me that hell have enlarged its coast. Because while we was watching, more people were being poured inside there. So while I was shouting, asking him for help, he said that I have another chance to go back. He mentioned this, that the request of the rich man in hell had been granted to this generation. I didn't understand it. It was now that I woke up, I read the Bible, I realized that the request was, the rich man was requesting that a dead man should be sent back to the world. So he just said that the request of the rich man had been granted to this generation for the last warning. He said to me that he's giving me opportunity to go back for the last warning to this generation. The next place I found myself was in Grace Cathedral, where all hands was holding me. This one was saying coffin, mortuary, 3 days. I couldn't understand. I didn't ask any question until when we got to the house. My wife now detailed me. That was all my experience.
I call it the miracle of the millennium. I've never seen it. I've never heard of anybody who had been in the mortuary for 3 days, come back to life. No, this is to me. I'm still praying. I couldn't compose myself even now.
Well, it's shocking. Seeing a dead man, somebody that was once dead, is now alive. It's very shocking. To God, all glory should go.
In January of 2013, we were in the West African country of Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. And I remember it was an extraordinary crusade in terms of the miracles. I remember on the last night how, before I had even started to preach, just during the announcements, as someone was reading out the acknowledgments of the different pastors and organizers, suddenly, spontaneously, without anyone praying, without anyone preaching, miracles began to pop up all over the field by the hundreds. So much so, the crowd grew so loud, just rejoicing and praising the Lord, that it drowned out the voice of the announcer over the PA system. It was the night before that after I'd finished praying for the sick, I was taking the testimonies on the platform. And the ushers brought to me a woman who they told me had been blind, but now she could see. I interviewed her and she acknowledged that yes, she had been blind in both eyes and now she could see out of one eye.
Mama, I heard that you were blind. Is that true?
Mama, on m'a dit que tu es aveugle, c'est vrai?
Si.
Tu es aveugle?
Non, je ne suis pas née aveugle. C'était le 1er mai.
She was not born blind, but she was blind. She became blind.
How long were you blind?
Pendant combien d'années?
Pendant combien d'années?
Depuis 2004.
Since 2004.
And now what has happened to you?
Et qu'est-ce qui s'est passé? Qu'est-ce que tu as?
J'ai eu ceinture.
Non, qu'est-ce qui s'est passé aujourd'hui?
Non, c'est hier nuit que Dieu m'a fait ouverture.
Yesterday night, her eyes were open.
And they're perfect now.
Maintenant, tu vois bien?
Oui, je vois.
She can see.
Both eyes.
Tu vois des deux yeux?
Non, ça.
Tu vois de ça seulement. She can see from only one eye.
So now the other eye still needs to be healed.
Donc l'autre œil là doit être guéri aussi. Okay.
Put your hand over the eye that still needs to be healed.
Mets ta main sur l'œil qui ne voit pas.
This one.
Yeah.
Father, in Jesus' name,
Seigneur, nom de Jésus,
I ask that you would open my sister's eye.
Je prie que tu ouvres l'œil de ma sœur.
Lord, you opened one eye.
Seigneur,
now I pray both eyes.
Ouvre les deux yeux.
I command this right eye to open.
Je donne à cet œil droit de s'ouvrir.
Open.
De s'ouvrir.
Open.
Ouvre-toi.
Be healed in Jesus' name.
And so I had to make a decision. I could do what was safe and send her off praising the Lord for that miracle she already received. Or we could demonstrate right there in front of all those people, the opening of her second eye. And so I took a risk, as I've done many times right there on that platform. I laid my hand on her eye and I began to pray. And then I said to her, can you see me? She looked. She said, no, I can still only see out of one eye.
Now, mama, look at me.
Mama, regarde-le.
Can you see me?
Tu le vois?
How is your right eye?
Ça qui voit.
Just one eye.
Only one eye.
The other one still can't see.
L'autre voit pas.
Cover it again. Put your hand over it. Lord, in Jesus' name, I command this eye to open.
J'ordonne à cet œil de s'ouvrir.
Be healed right now in Jesus' name.
Sois guéri maintenant au nom de Jésus.
2020 vision.
Vois clair au nom de Jésus.
2020 vision in Jesus' name.
Au nom de Jésus.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Mama, look at me.
Mama, regarde-le.
Look at me.
And so we prayed a second time. And when I took my hand off her eye, I could see her looking at me very intently. I could still see it as though it's happening right now in front of me. She looked very intently for a couple seconds. And then suddenly you could see the expression on her face change. She began to shout, we, yes, 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 I could see. She said, you are a white man. That entire crowd went ballistic, as they had watched a miracle happening right before their eyes.
What do you see?
Oui, je te vois.
See me now.
Oui.
Tu me vois? Tu me vois?
You see me?
Oui, tu es blanc, oui,
you are a white man.
Two eyes.
Deux.
La deuxième.
Deux.
La deuxième voix.
Deux.
Both eyes.
La deuxième voix.
Oui, Papa.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mama, cover the eye that Jesus healed before. Cover this one. And now, can you see me?
Est-ce que tu le vois?
Oui.
Tu le vois?
Oui.
Tu le vois?
If you can see me, catch me. Tell her to catch me.
Alors, si tu le vois, faut l'attraper.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't Jesus wonderful?
Oh, Jésus.
In 2010, we were in the city of Karu in Nigeria. And I remember it was one of those nights where the miracles just began to pop like popcorn all over the field. After I'd prayed for the sick, I could see crutches and wheelchairs going into the air from all over the field. And after I prayed, I was just about to call for testimonies. And I remember seeing from my right-hand side this woman running up to me with her sister and crutches in the air. And so before I had even finished, I turned and I began to listen to this amazing testimony.
Mighty miracles are happening all over this place in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you why we share these miracle testimonies with you. Because as you hear, ma'am, come here. Stand right here. Stand right here. Come. Stand right here. Bring me those crutches. Bring me the crutches. Tell me, ma'am, what was wrong with you?
I had 5 surgeries. After the 5th one, I could not walk. My spinal cord was like this. I could not walk. But now I can't walk. For 7 years, I've been suffering affliction for 7 years now. I've been suffering affliction for 7 years. I cannot walk on my own. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
She was so healed that as she walked across the platform and when we saw her the next day, you couldn't tell that there had ever been anything wrong with her. I can still remember her sister. When she saw her sister walking across the platform, she fell on her knees on the platform and began to weep and cry and thank the Lord for that amazing miracle. It's something I'll never forget.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, who are you, ma'am?
She's my one and only sister I have in this world. We are only two from my mommy's womb. Thank you, she's healed in Jesus' name.
What your sister's saying is true.
It's true, sir.
How long have you been unable to walk?
It's 6 weeks and six months now. Since February, I've been down.
And what happened to you tonight?
I'm here. I can't walk.
Come on, walk for us. Walk, walk, walk. Hallelujah!
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 Isn't this wonderful?
Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. My sister is healed. I'm Prisca Alta. She's Placida Alta. She's the only sister I have. She has undergone several operations. The last operation she did, she was paralyzed. So we heard of Rehan Bonke and his colleague, Daniel Kalenda. We came over with her. Glory be to God. Yesterday she could walk. She threw away her crutches. Thanks be to God.
I'm grateful because of the coming of the man of God. I think it was because of me who they organized the crusade in Kari.
Thanks
I'm very grateful because I threw away my crutches. I'm healed. I'm happy.
Now she can walk on her own.
Yeah. You know, Jesus is the healer. Let me tell you why we share these testimonies with you. Because what Jesus has done for this sister, He will do for you tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Titi has been deaf in both ears for the past 17 years. Even when her mother shouted to her from across the room or the terrace, she couldn't hear her. In order to get her attention, Titi's mom had to physically touch her and motion for her to come. Even hearing aids didn't help. According to an ear specialist, Titi was 90% deaf in one ear and 75% deaf in the other.
When I came to the crusade last night, I felt this joy, excitement seeing all the people singing and happy. But I couldn't follow along. I was deaf. When I was younger, it was so difficult. I couldn't even communicate with my own family. Many of them rejected me. I was lonely. I just felt like a person stuck in solitary confinement in prison.
Then when Titi could no longer keep up in school, she was forced to drop out.
At the time I was in high school, teachers began to fail me on my exams because I couldn't hear them teach. I wanted to end my life. The world was collapsing around me.
So the night that Titi came to CFAN Gospel Crusade, she was praying that God would do something for her. And that's exactly what happened.
When the man of God started praying, I noticed that something was happening to me. Things were taking place in my body. Then when he was praying, I started to feel a burning in my body. Burning like my ears were on fire. They kept getting hotter and hotter. Then something inside me just said, "Start giving thanks to God." Suddenly my right ear opened and I could hear.
Titi's brother Nasser quickly brought his sister to the stage to testify.
When I climbed onto stage, I saw thousands of people. I was so overwhelmed.
But before she could tell what happened, her brother Nasser told Daniel Kalenda that God had opened only one ear and asked if he would pray for his sister again. Daniel quickly agreed and prayed for the ear to be opened.
Thank you right now. For this miracle that has begun in my sister.
As they prayed the second time, a second miracle happened right there on the stage.
Both ears, 100%.
That's when something happened, and suddenly I noticed I could hear out of both ears.
Jesus. Hallelujah! Say thank you, Jesus!
Dis merci, Jésus!
It was wonderful. I was in shock. I hardly even knew where I was.
The next day, we took our camera to Titi's home and confirmed the miracle that God had done the night before.
I am so grateful to God for healing me. I am so thankful to Him. Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. Turn to Him and you will see what He'll do for you.
You know, to this day, when I rewatch these testimonies, they bring tears to my eyes. Guys, this stuff is real. Jesus is alive, and He's still doing miracles today, and I am a witness to that, and I want all of you to be as well. Okay, now for the sake of time, I'm going to share just one more testimony here, and I've chosen this one for a reason. This is the story of a lady named Jean Neal, and this is another one of those testimonies that has stood the test of time. The miracle that you're about to see happened back in 1988. And by the way, I'm still friends with Jean to this day, and she's still healed. So if that's not real, I don't know what is. As a fairly young woman, Jean fell, and she damaged her spine. And that fall was the beginning of 25 years of surgeries, 16 different operations, 3 heart attacks. She had asthma. She had a hernia. She had nerve transplants in her arms because of the spinal damage. She even went blind for 6 months because of the medications that she was on. And then on March 12, 1988, Reinhard Bonnke was holding a youth rally in Birmingham, in England, and Jean was there. And as you'll see in this video, when Reinhard prayed for her, she not only got healed, she started running around the hall, and the whole thing was caught on camera. It's an amazing testimony, an amazing miracle. Let's watch.
I've had 3 major operations on my spine. So I've actually got pieces of my spine removed and some good scars. And through that, told 4 times I would never walk again.
Of course, she'd always had some ill health problems, but the major part started when they were moving house in New Bilton. She slipped and fell and fractured the coccyx, and of course that was the start of all her spinal problems then.
And I used to think, well, she's always in pain, always on sticks, and always standing up, just standing by the wall all the time to relieve the pain and the pressure of sitting down all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'd always known her from being, you know, born, basically. I'd never known her any different. I mean, it was very difficult because I was the youngest child, and I'd always, you know, I'd always resented the fact that she was like that and she couldn't do with me, you know, obviously what normal mums do. And even going on holiday and things like that, you know, it was very, very difficult.
And Jean used to sit quite often in front of me, on the chair in front of me, and you could see sometimes sideways she'd glance and she'd grimace, and you knew she was experiencing pain and more pain. And then she just literally seemed to get worse.
It was unbelievable. We came back to the house different times when we come down, and she'd be sat down and then she couldn't sit, and she'd have to stand up and lean against the wall to relieve the pain in her back because the pain was so severe. And then I've seen her trying to get into Mr. Cunningham's car to go to church, and she would get in and the pain in her face, she never said a word, but you were cringing for her because you could see the pain just to move, but she was going to go to church. She was going to do these various things, and she just did it.
So the doctors had described was there was no hope for me. To date, I've actually had 16 operations.
She'd been in and out of St. Cross and, of course, in Walsgrave as well. But the final one was this really major operation. And we went to see her in Walsgrave. And she was really low then. She was in a lot of pain because She'd just come out of the operation. They'd also told her she may never walk again. And she was, I think that was the lowest ebb of her life, really. She was so, so low.
I got to the stage where I just hated people coming in, just nurses, carers, your family. I mean, even my own children looking after me and having to do things for me that you would do for yourself, personal things that, that you just get to the end of your tether and think, this isn't living. So, yes, I had enough tablets for the sicknesses I had to take my own life. And I suppose at times I would look and think, this is a quick way out. I'll take these, I'll be out of everybody's hands. I'll be out of my misery, out of my sickness.
She knew Reinhard was coming to the NEC at Birmingham, and we spoke on the phone, and then I came to see her a few days before she went down.
Jean had had this dream that was, she told us this, there was going to be a row of wheelchairs, and she was going to be healed. She went believing she was going to be healed.
We didn't know what to expect, but when Reinhard Bonnke went to her and prayed for her, it was wonderful. And I remember when Reinhard went up to her, straight up to her, and prayed for her, and she got out of that. We were looking out of that chair, and she ran around. Mm. Reinhard Bonnke said, "Where's that woman?" She was halfway around that place.
My God, what's happened to you? Praise God. Now, isn't that, did you witness this? How many saw this? Praise God. Pardon?
My husband's come and seen it.
Now, tell me, what was wrong with you?
Spine trouble for 25 years.
25 years spine trouble. 25 years spine trouble. Now, look at this. Do you mind to come up the platform? Just tell us what Jesus has done. Could you bring that wheelchair up as well? Come on, I need some strong hands. Stewards, take that wheelchair up. Husband and wife will come. Come with me, come with me. Isn't that terrific? I would like you to look at, what is your name?
Jean.
Mrs. Jean Neal, you are the husband?
Yes, John.
You pushed your wife?
Yes.
Now your wife will push you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah! Isn't that terrific? You know, I'll tell you the truth, Jean. When I came in here and I saw you there, the Holy Spirit said to me, that woman will be healed tonight. I say that before God. She can now run. She can now bend. She can do everything in Jesus' name. Can you give us a small demonstration? What off? Well, have a little run here. Have a little run. Amen! Praise be to God!
Well, we got home and she ran, opened the door and ran upstairs. And Sharon came out of the living room. She says, "Who's that?" And Jean came down. She says, "It's me. I'm healed."
She couldn't actually tell me. She actually, you know, what had happened. When she eventually got round to it, you know, I still didn't know what to say at that point. But we talked about it, and my dad still didn't know really what to do either. He was like, he just couldn't understand it.
And just couldn't believe, we came down to see her and we couldn't believe the change. It was the old Jean from years ago. Her eyes were shining and sparkling. She'd got that devilment back. In fact, I think she chased you around the kitchen, didn't she?
And the garden.
And it was the old Jean from years ago. We just could not get over the change in it.
Since my healing, my life's changed completely. It's completely opposite to being housebound, chairbound, having somebody to look after me. I've travelled widely around the world. I'm doing church meetings, healing meetings, interviews. You know, I just thank God for what he's given me, the work he's given me to do.
And when you get a miracle like that, it doesn't go away, and it will never go away, no matter what comes in our lives.
From then on, she went jogging every morning, swimming, and went into the hospital and helped give the teas out, and they all knew it was a testimony. The whole of Rugby knew. How couldn't they? Because even the doctor said, a miracle, a miracle. And it was. It was something that we will never, ever forget.